Oh God. Oh my God.
I would not have done well in Virginia during the pandemic.
I mean, everything would have been business as normal, right? Business as usual.
Yeah.
I don't know. I'd probably start dating Krishna again if I was stuck there for that time.
Dating Krishna? Like, did you ever date a Hare Krishna?
Yeah.
No, I dated a girl named deity. Krishna.
So you are Hare Krishna? You hand out
yeah,
bracelets at the airport?
Yeah, most of what I know about Hare Krishna is just from the movie Airplane.
Yeah. Yeah, that's about right. Which is what I, you know, base most of my airport interactions on anyways.
Yeah, it's that in Hayden, you know.
Hayden's a Hare Krishna?
Yep.
Why not? He is now.
He's the Hare Krishna of the sky.
Yeah.
He gets you locked into that fuselage, and then he's like, all right, everybody, who would like to buy my sports bracelets?
Are those for sale? I thought they just gave them away.
I mean,
there's a sole price.
Yeah.
The hardest price to pay.
I thought those things were like a scam. Like they get it on you and then they like work you for donations. Just like when somebody hands you a CD on the street.
Right.
It's like, oh, check out my music. Oh, that's going to be $5. Oh, you can't take it. No take backsies. No take backsies. It's like, motherfucker, I'm just leaving here. Slap. Yeah. Just toss it in the street. What are you going to do? Yeah. Fucking assault me over it?
Yeah, right.
Who has a CD player?
I mean,
fair.
I don't think even my car has one. Does it?
Maybe.
It should. It's like a 2018. That's like ancient technology.
No, I still have one. Yeah.
Hmm.
I saw the best bumper sticker ever, and I need to steal it for my car. It says, this car cost me $830. I'm broke. I'll take us both down. Considering I bought that car for $800, seems appropriate.
My greatest sale ever.
I saw I was cleaning out the pictures and stuff on my phone.
I did not haggle at all.
And I found one picture of a bumper sticker that I really liked back in the day that just said, no kids, just fuck my shit up. Yeah.
Nice.
I did see a bumper sticker once that I had to take a photo of and send to Lombardo. And all it said was, stop honking at me. My dad's dead.
Nice.
Well, speaking of cataclysmic world ending events. The Creeds.
I'm glad one of us got there. Welcome back to Cage Match, a roundabout way of meeting Nicolas Cage. I'm Sean, here with my co-host.
Nick.
And our producer.
We were having a great time until you started this.
Peter, hello.
And today, we're talking about the animated masterpiece, The Croods.
There's going to be a lot. This is one of those times where, like, rarely I've ever thought I wish that people could watch us while we do an episode. But seeing Nick's face reactions it's pretty choice.
I was really considering just bringing whiskey tonight.
Oh, man, that would have been a vibe.
It would have changed everything.
Yeah. We've gotten real fighty about halfway through.
Yeah, I do get kind of aggressive with whiskey. That's fine, though. That's fine.
I bet Cora would fight you.
Oh, absolutely.
Oh, man, if I had shared my ice cream sandwich and maybe a sip of my whiskey. Just a little nip before bed.
Just a touch.
That probably would have been best. She would have gone
straight to sleep.
Yeah.
Okay, so we watched Croods.
No, we were having fun not talking about Croods again. I successfully deviated.
Is this what this episode is going to be?
It's going to be a lot of that.
I still have the problem with, like, if I ever get, like, a tiny paper cup of, like, mouthwash or anything from the dentist, I instinctively just neck it.
Oh,
I've accidentally drank so much mouthwash.
Oh man. It's
like, ooh, thanks. Bloop.
I always end up just kind of folding the cup up and putting it in my pocket just in case I need to do like a Wayne's World moment.
Oh, nice.
Yeah.
You never know.
Yeah, it's true. It could happen. It could happen to you. That's a Nicolas Cage movie.
It is.
We could talk about that one.
We could. Another movie you didn't
But we're
like.
Talking about 2013? 2009?
Yep, 2013.
When was this movie? 2013's The Croods.
So we did this out of order, though, because we did Croods 2 or Croods New Age or whatever the fuck it was called.
Yeah, why did we do Croods 2 first? What were we doing with that? I can't remember.
I think it was because it was our season one intermission. We just picked random movies, and for whatever reason, we decided it was funnier to do the second one first. Which
it's not like there's an immense amount of Croods lore that we needed to know going into the second one.
No.
And it did give us a pretty strong recap of the first one.
It sure did.
And arguably better animation.
Yeah, they both look kind of like shit, but
I like the 2D animation.
Oh, that part's good. No, I like that part.
The 2D parts are fine.
Yeah. The 3D looks like DreamWorks and garbage. Yeah, the 3D
looks like DreamWorks, and that's yeah.
I will say it's one
sucks
of,
to look at.
It's one of their for DreamWorks, it is one of their better animated films. Like none of their stuff looks great. Like no. Shrek has always looked like dog shit, and
yeah. Oh, I was going back through a list of like all the DreamWorks like animation films.
It's rough,
and it's like there are maybe I think there were like two that I was like, oh okay, I like that. Like I enjoyed How to Train Your Dragon.
Yep,
great.
Yeah,
that's a fun
same director as the Croods.
Yeah.
Yep.
I don't know how. Well, I mean, directors can't change writing.
No, that's true. Yeah.
But they also wrote the movie, and he wrote both Croods? Movies.
He did.
Yeah. No.
What a fucking idiot.
He didn't direct the second one.
He was also the voice of Belt.
Oh, wow. My favorite character.
Yeah, Belt's probably. Nope. Douglas
is your favorite. I was going to say, if I had to pick a character for you to be a favorite, Douglas.
Yeah.
Douglas.
Big Douglas guy over here.
That's my son's dog.
Okay, let's talk about the critters just for a minute. We'll get into the plot line and everything because whatever, it doesn't really matter that much. But the critters, I think, in this are pretty good. And when we jumped into Croods 2, it was like way overplayed that it's going to be weird creatures because obviously they had set the precedent from Croods 1, which gets you, you know, like all the craziness of like the 50 different types of punch monkeys.
I appreciate that they didn't try to justify or explain anything in this movie.
Right. It's like, here's a weird piranha bird.
Yeah.
Here's a whale that walks on land.
Yeah.
I don't know.
I loved the piranha birds because I liked how their like beaks opened in like what the middle of their face rather than like at the point.
Yeah, totally. Like those were cool.
The creature design in this movie is awesome.
So like Douglas is a dog alligator?
Yeah. Well,
a dog alligator.
I thought he was like a skunk. He had like skunk stripes and like skunk tail.
Yeah.
And alligator mouth. It doesn't matter. None of it matters.
I did really
like
Douglas being introduced. He's like a dog. He's behaving like a dog, even though he's a weird critter. And then Thunk.
Falls out of a very tall tree.
Like, has him roll off of a cliff.
Yeah.
He's just like, oh shit, Douglas.
Yeah, top two favorite moments from the movie was just Douglas rolling off and then like, okay.
I was like, oh, they killed a dog. Wow.
Yeah. Just disappeared. Was it no remorse, no like mention of him?
Nope.
Like until the last like 5 minutes of the movie.
Yeah, and then he shows up and he gets saved.
Yeah.
And then I think he's in the second movie, but I don't think he mattered.
No, him and the cat are just around in the second movie.
Yeah.
Nothing matters. None of it matters. We're all going to die, and this thing happened in our lives.
It's weird that the Croods are the thing that's making you like existentially express yourself.
We have watched such worse movies.
Is this what happened to Hornback? Like, Hornback watched the Croods one day, and then this is what we got from him?
Yeah. What is the point of life?
Oh, my goodness. We're all just fucking bags of meat that are going to rot.
Slowly rot. And yeah.
I wish I could rot faster.
So all-star cast. We got Nicolas Cage as Grug. Ryan Reynolds is Guy. Emma Stone is Eep. Catherine Keener is Ugga. Cloris Leachman is Gran. Clark Duke as Thunk. And I'm going to ask what I asked last time. What the fuck ever happened to Clark Duke?
I don't know. I mean, he's one of those people that just like always looks like a boy, even though he's like our age.
Oh, is that the Hot Tub Time Machine kid?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Chris Sanders, who is the writer-director, is Belt. Yeah, and that's the entire cast.
I mean, yeah, I guess for this one, you really don't have anybody else.
Yeah, no.
Because we got the Dinkster in the second one.
Yeah, that's right.
The Dinkster?
Dinklage.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, okay. Yeah, he was the dad or whatever.
Yeah.
Guy's dad.
Guy's dad's friend.
Yeah, that's right. It was his friend because his guy's parents drowned in the
tar.
Yeah.
Okay. See, I got confused because I hate both movies. And so plot was irrelevant to me.
Okay. So wait.
The plot of this film is Nicolas Cage's.
The plot's just Pangea.
Kind of. Yeah.
Pangea yeah. past. It's like everything's like splitting apart and Guy foretells it because he listens to the floor with the. I don't know, a shell or something. And then he's like, we got to go to high ground, which turns out didn't help.
No, that was not great. If not for caveman strength.
Yeah. And Nicolas Cage doesn't like doing things because it's going to kill you. And his daughter has a cave girl boner. I don't want to get too caught up on what kind of boner.
She likes a big brain.
Yeah. And his like fully formed feet and hands and like not right or like not wrong sized head.
Right.
So Guy is a human and everybody else is cavies. I do like that he's got a slur for them. Ugh, cavies. I'm going to start calling. Who in our group is a cavie?
Who's the most cavie person?
Yeah.
Oh, man.
Adam.
Adam's probably a cavie. Adam's a KB. Sorry, Adam.
Yeah. Yeah.
I do appreciate any Nicolas Cage led movie where his first utterance is just going full Nick Cage. No words, just yelling for a solid like 30 seconds. Like that's like Ugg's first scene coming out of the cave is like, it makes 100%.
Are you calling him Ugg?
Yeah, it's Grug.
Yeah, it's Grug.
Grug. Doesn't rhymes matter.
With Ugg, dude.
Well, you're also mixing it up with his wife, Ugga.
Yeah. So, yeah. Grug. But like, it 100% Ugga. Makes sense why you'd cast Nicolas Cage for this role if that's the energy you're starting with.
I did kind of like how it started out like that. And then, you know, they're like doing their hunt to get some food and it's like, release the baby. And that thing's a maniac.
Yeah.
And then in the second one, they have that horrible scene where they get into the like, oasis the and they're just like shoving their gobs.
Oh yeah, they're just fucking filth eaters.
Yeah, and this one it kind of had a similar vibe where they get that egg and they're just like hot sucking raw egg out of it. Yeah. Like ugh.
And when they finally experience cooked meat.
Oh yeah.
And they ate like all what's leftovers. Yeah. When you have food left over.
Gran just like eating her way out of the giant bird.
Yeah. Okay, least favorite character. This should be easy. Easy to figure out because there's only like six characters.
Yeah.
They're all golden. Perfect cast.
No.
Okay, so my least favorite character is Ugga. Boring. Doesn't do anything.
Yeah, Ugga doesn't really do anything in this movie.
Yeah. Like she gets more to do in the second one, but yeah, she's just sort of like there.
I would say. Yeah, is it going to be the daughter? I think it's the daughter.
The baby?
No.
No.
The baby. Eep? Baby's fine. Yeah, sure. Eep.
Okay. Why?
I don't know. Something about fucking teenage girls annoys me so goddamn much.
Ugh. Sean, least favorite?
No, I think Ugga, just because, yeah, she doesn't really do anything in the movie. Cloris Leachman's got some great line reads and is a lot of fun.
I mean, she's been good at being an old lady for a long time.
Lots of practice, yeah.
Yeah.
I don't understand DreamWorks's reasoning for getting cast like this. Like, it doesn't matter who it is. I can only assume the reason they get, like, a Nicolas Cage or Ryan Reynolds is because they know they can get more money from producers out of it by having big names. But
I think it's just to make things tolerable for the adults. Like, are you going to take your kid to go see a DreamWorks movie with nobody you know in it or a DreamWorks movie that at least has a full A-list cast?
Well, it doesn't matter. They're not voice actors. Like most of the DreamWorks movies, the voice acting isn't great because they just hire like, you know, A and B list actors.
True. But to be fair, the only reason we watch this movie is because of the cast.
The A-list cast.
Yeah, A-list casting.
we don't count. This, we're doing a fucking dumb thing.
We shouldn't count.
All right, fine. Second least favorite character in the film.
Yeah, go. Rank them.
I'm going to say Thunk.
Thunk?
Thunk, that little fuck.
Thunk doesn't do a lot either. No, I was going to say, this is one of the few non-Deadpool movies where I don't hate Ryan Reynolds.
Sure.
Mm. Yeah, he's fine. I mean, he is sort of an uppity bitch, but
yeah, I mean, he's still just Ryan Reynolds.
Why does he have the weird shoes?
Because he's learned to survive.
Okay.
He's a human. He has ideas. He can think.
He's an idea man.
So he doesn't hurt his feet on floor spikes.
Right.
Yeah. Okay.
Third least favorite.
Shoes. Let's talk about shoes.
Yeah, go ahead.
The scene where they get the, like, they step on all that shit and Thunk's, or not Thunk, fucking guy is like, I guess I'll be nice and help them with, like, shoe stuff because they're obviously idiot cabies. Thunk.
What's fish?
Where do they get the fish? That doesn't make sense. There was no river there.
I mean, those are probably airfish.
Airfish?
Yeah.
Third least favorite character. Guy.
Well, what I was going to say, despite not understanding why they get like big name actors for these voice roles, this is one of the few DreamWorks films where I'm like, yeah, no, everyone did a good job.
I mean, I agree with that. I think the voice acting in this is actually fine. I think the point that you're making, and we've made a couple times, is that like there really isn't a huge amount of value. Like, what parent went to this movie and was like, oh, thank God it's Nick Cage, you know?
But also, like what adult besides us watches this movie if not for their kids?
Oh, man, you know there's crude heads out there.
Oh, man.
I mean, I'm one of them now, yes.
Crudités? What would you call them? I don't even know.
Crudités. Crudités?
Cavies. A bunch of cavies.
They can't think. They're just cavies.
Man, I love the crudes and crudes new age. I'm a cavie.
But what about those 8 seasons of Crudes family ties or what family?
Oh, is there 8 seasons?
According to IMDb, seasons. I don't know.
Wow, that's too many seasons.
Yeah.
You sure wasn't episodes?
I'm going to watch an episode just to see what like off-brand Nicolas Cage sounds like.
Yeah, I'd be curious.
I'm just looking at like other DreamWorks animated films on IMDb right now. We got like Boss Baby with Alec Baldwin. No child wants to hear Alec Baldwin. Rio, don't know what that's about.
It's Johnny Depp as a bird.
Ugh. Oh, it's Johnny Depp?
I don't know, I think. Click on that.
No, that was Rango.
Rango.
Oh, no, that's Johnny Depp as a lizard.
Yeah, I don't think.
Yeah.
Was Johnny Depp still doing shit when Rio came out?
I don't know. Who's in Rio? Who is Bird?
I'm looking now. Who's Bird? Jesse Eisenberg is Blue. Oh, no. His name's not even Rio. They're just Jesse in Rio, Eisenberg. I guess.
We got there.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Worth it. We got to get a couple dumb laughs out of this episode.
I guess there was, they did the Madagascars, Hotel Transylvania, which is just an Adam Sandler film.
I watched the first Hotel Transylvania the night my ex-wife went into labor with my son.
You were just like, hold on, I'm not finished.
Yeah. We're going to watch this. You're going to really love it. No,
my favorite part's coming up.
We watched it.
You've seen this before?
You watched this more than once? Divorce. Yeah,
you're more present for this film you've watched before for the birth of your son.
Babies take a while to come out. Let's watch some delightful Adam Sandlering.
Well, it's because they know there are no good children's films out
in the
world.
It's true.
Except for Paddington 2.
And then, yeah, the Ice Age films, which, again, what child wants to hear the voice of Ray Romano?
I don't even know adults who want to hear the voice of Ray Romano.
Exactly.
Who was Ray Romano in that? Was he the elephant?
Yeah, he was the
mammoth. The whatever.
Mammoth. Oh, wow.
Because Sid the Sloth was clown himself, right? Leguizamo?
Leguizamo. Dennis Leary was the saber-toothed tiger.
Oh, that's right. Yeah.
Queen Latifah is the lady mammoth in the sequels.
Hot.
Can you imagine
Ray Romano and Queen Latifah just out on a blind date. Just what would they talk about?
Oh my God.
Anything but the Croods, I bet.
Probably.
Fourth least favorite character in the movie.
Did we already say the baby?
Nobody said the baby yet.
I genuinely enjoy this film. It was a fun watch. There's good like humor and like physical animated comedy. I really like the joke about the snapshot.
Yo, that was pretty good.
Mm. Where he like he paints up Thunk's face and like smacks him with like a piece of slate and to, you know, get an instant photo of him or an instant picture.
I did kind
of
like that.
I mean, that one paid off in the end when they did the family photo.
Yeah.
So Uga. Uga's my fourth least favorite. Okay.
I liked the way that they moved, actually. The KVs, that is. I thought that was pretty well done. They had like a good Eep-like shamble.
I love it.
Okay, what's one thing that you liked about this movie?
I liked,
other than the ending, because it was over.
I liked the way Grug had that sinister smile when he thought the grandma was gonna die near the end or whatever.
Like, every time they did a head count, and like he always was happy because he thought grandma was dead, and then she like shows up.
Yeah.
Six.
And when Douglas rolled off the thing.
That was funny. That was legitimately funny.
Yeah. That's it.
Plot line, there's really not much. Cataclysm. Yeah. Getting away from a cataclysm.
Yeah, they're just trying to run away from the like continental divide or whatever.
Right.
Not continental divide,
the splitting up of the continents.
Yeah.
Grug believes the only way to survive is to not ever take any risks, to stay in the cave. New things are bad. Like a pussy. So, yeah. But they're the only ones left. So he's doing something right up until, human shows up, world changes, brings fire and everything falls apart. And they're forced to like go on an adventure to, save themselves. He wants to still prove he's the man of the tribe, but new, bigger ideas come around, scare him, and everyone like turns their back on Grug. Bad family.
I don't know. He had some pretty fucking antiquated opinions on things. Why is it in the second film they all look around like they've never seen food before when clearly on numerous occasions they go to pretty verdant areas?
Yeah, I was wondering, and I can't remember, and I'm not going to rewatch that movie.
You want to know the answer? It's a kids movie.
Yeah. But like, so what happens? So obviously at the end of this one, they're like riding around on all their critters and, having a grand old time and,
they get to the coast.
Food is a plenty. Mm-hmm. What happened after that? Like, why did it get shitty? Or was it just that guy wanted to go figure out his parents' friend's location or something?
No, they just stumble across.
I think it was accidental.
It was like, I don't know, another cataclysm. Who cares?
No, yeah. They were running away from like a T-Rex or something, or like an off-brand T-Rex.
Exactly, an off-brand T-Rex. The T-Rex fused with, I don't know,
Hare Krishnas.
Yes. It's like, here's this bracelet.
Take this bracelet or I'll eat you.
Oh, you took it? Now I gotta eat you. It's transactional.
In terms of the Nick Cage of it all, both these films, in terms of his voice acting career, are decent performances. Like he really gives it his all in this, as opposed to like the Ant Bully, where you can tell how just bored he is the entire time.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, even in like I said last time, even in like Spider-Verse, he's like so muffled and like just,
which is like partially the character, but I'm kind of curious to see. We don't have that many more Nick Cage voice performances. We've got like Teen Titans Go to the Movies and maybe one other.
Yeah, that's right. He's Superman in that.
Yeah.
Do you think Nick Cage's performance in Spider-Man was muffled, as you say, because he's so meta? He came dressed in a mask and like,
yes.
I asked that last time. Yes.
No.
I think 100% he wore a mask.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Great.
And they're like, I mean, it's Nick Cage. He's a method actor. I guess, you know, let him do his thing.
Yeah, sure.
Put that mask on.
It's the only way you're going to get that performance.
I wonder if his mask just had his own face on it.
Did we ever confirm whether or not in Ghost Rider Spirit of Vengeance, like, we read online that he, like, showed up with, like, skull face paint on to the set. Did we ever, like, confirm that?
No.
I stated it as a fact because I want it to be true.
Are you asking if we had a follow-through on something we said on this podcast? Yeah.
I don't remember if we ever followed up on that. I don't think he did, but...
I definitely did not.
I will say, in terms of follow-through, 4 years later and the Croods. So I did have, there is a quote in this film that I did love, which is when Grug is chasing Guy around, kind of like finally had his full fill right before they get in the tar. And Guy is trying to like talk Nick Cage down. And Grug just goes, you know, big words make me mad. Keep talking.
That is actually pretty good. The only quote that stuck out to me was Funk got hit in the face at one point. He goes, ow, my sniffer. And I don't know why I liked that, but I just, it got me.
And then, you know, we had the origin of the Punch Monkeys.
I did like that. Nick didn't.
I'm glad they didn't acknowledge them and they were just like viewed once.
That's the first time they ever met a Punch Monkey.
Should have been the last.
What did you guys think of the sexy saber-toothed cat cosplay that they had to do to get out of the tar?
All right, the puppet work I found pretty hilarious.
I like that belt was just playing the rib cage as like a xylophone.
Yeah.
That's a classic.
Yeah, rib cage xylophone's a pretty choice.
Did Ugga go back to having like shitty hair in the sequel?
I cared so little. I couldn't even remember what her hair looked like prior to that scene. It's just like, oh, they framed this in such a way. It's like, did her hair change? I'm just going to roll with that. And then I didn't even acknowledge her hair for the rest of the film. Yeah, she's definitely my fourth least favorite character.
Who's your favorite character?
Well, we got to get there. Who's your fifth?
Yeah, we're building up.
Yeah.
Fifth least favorite character. The child.
The baby?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Baby's my fifth least favorite.
Cindy? What's her name? Sandy?
Sandy.
Sandy.
Yeah.
Okay. So wait, who's left then? Just Grug and Guy?
And Gran.
Oh, and Gran. Wait, that's...
Did I not say Guy? I thought I said
Guy. Maybe you said Guy. So it's just Grug and Gran.
Yeah. And Douglas.
And Douglas, well.
I don't want to tip my hand or anything.
Nick, I found your review on IMDb.
Uh-oh.
Let's hear it.
This movie was terrible. I was expecting a fun, clever kids movie, but instead I got a stupid, unfunny, predictable movie. Even though I only watched the first 30 minutes, it was the worst 30 minutes of my life.
Now, I know that's not me because they said they expected something from this.
Now, you had gone into it already having seen Croods 2, so...
Yes, but I still knew it was a DreamWorks
movie. You knew what not to expect. Yeah. That's true, it is a DreamWorks, so...
Oh, wait, I forgot about all the weird Christian fundamentalists who review-bombed this film.
Ugh. Oh, yeah. Let's just talk about that.
I can't understand how any one of those people would legitimately be offended by this movie. Like... What?
Because it teaches about evolution, which is an affront to God.
Dipshits.
Yeah.
So stupid.
We have to share the planet with these people.
Yeah.
Those people get to vote.
Too often. I think it should be a one and done.
You get to vote once?
Yeah, I think everybody gets to vote just once.
You got to really hang on to your vote.
Yeah. Like, really make it matter.
Ooh, do I do it?
I don't hate this idea.
A lot of like really close elections with 13 votes for president.
I mean, Donald that's not Trump. Too,
13 votes, but like 170 or whatever, 370, whatever the electoral bullshit. Hey, I want to talk about the Electoral College. It's about time we get rid of that shit.
Yeah, I like it.
That's just placating slave owners, and we don't need that anymore. We live in a time where fucking communication can happen instantaneously. We don't need fucking dumb fucking representation. Podcast over. Did I get it? Are we done?
Yeah, I think so. Yeah.
Sixth least favorite character. Gran.
Gran. Okay. I liked her in the second one a little bit more. She's good in this, though.
I mean, she was fine in this, but the jokes are so forced in this movie.
Yeah.
Hers are no better.
What's it like having no joy?
You know, I'm new to this about not being a happy person, but you know.
You can embrace it.
Yeah.
Just talk to Hornback.
It's good.
Yeah. Did Belt huff a flower at one point and get high?
I missed that.
I feel like it was right before Douglas fell off the cliff, but
Was it a poppy flower or whatever?
I don't know. I don't think
prehistoric poppy.
Yeah. It was a cocaine poppy because everything's a hybrid in this movie.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So he was amped up
and chilled out.
What was your favorite like weird animal, weird beast? I liked the whale with legs.
Leg whale was cool.
Turtle birds I enjoyed.
I can safely say that the elephant mice are the cutest ones, but I don't know if they're my favorite.
The D&D nerd in me was like, I liked the owl bear, even though I know it's more a cat, but it's like the bird cat.
Oh,
the
sure.
The one that's stalking them the entire time.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Chunky. Yeah, I can't remember if Gran actually called it that in this movie or not, but that's what she called it in the second movie. So, yeah.
How do you remember anything from that?
I don't know.
I want to know what happened to like the other animals, because in the sequel, I remember they had the cat and they had Doug. I don't remember them having like the connected tail lemurs.
They
didn't have the whale. I was going to say, did they eat those?
Yeah, maybe that's what happened. They started eating all the pets and they were like, fuck, we're running out of pets and we like these last two a lot.
I mean, the connected tail lemur is kind of great because you get to eat one and then you can like, you know, like a spaghetti, just like suck up like the other one.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Sixth least favorite character in the movie.
I think it's seventh at this point.
I don't know. All the background animals.
Even the piranha birds?
Yeah.
Even Chunky? Yeah.
So.
All the background animals. Hey, they all rank above Thunk. He sucked.
Thunk is bad.
Yeah.
Yeah. So Nick Cage, at the end of this, throws everyone across a chasm, knowing that he's going to be the only one who can't get across because he's the thrower and not a jumper.
He's got those tiny fucking animated feet.
Yeah, dumb feet. Ugh. Put on some fucking fish shoes.
Ugh. Can you imagine trying to suck on those toes?
No, gross. Get out of here.
Thank you. I will leave now.
You're excused.
Right. I should just go. I'm going to go home and think about what I said
and
how this impacts the podcast.
Yeah. So he saves
can
everybody.
Can we just talk about how dumb it is that their plan is to just ride the sun?
Yeah, they're idiots.
Yeah, they're cavies. They don't know shit.
So they get chasmed, and then Nick Cage goes back for the cataclysm to die, and then he's in the dark of a cave with Chunky, finds out that Chunky's afraid of the dark. Okay. Befriends Chunky. Then they make a flying machine out of a rib cage.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, they put a bunch of tar on a rib cage and then make all the piranha birds hit it so that they fly.
And then piranha birds are scared of fire, so he uses the fire to kind of like steer by like torch. Which I thought was clever.
Yeah, that for somebody who's never had an idea in his life, to make that his first idea. Not bad.
I did like that his ideation process was
second least favorite. Or sorry, seventh?
Eighth, I think. I don't know.
There's eight matter. Characters in this film.
He's your second favorite character. You've crossed the threshold.
None of them are my favorite.
Well.
Except for Douglas.
Douglas. You only need one.
Yeah. You can only have one favorite.
But I did like during his ideation process, it was basically just him braining himself on shit. Because he's a big dummy. KB.
Yeah.
Well, he was going to like actually like hit himself with like a rock, and then he had the idea before he did. Which is how Guy comes up with ideas. He has a belt to hit him with a rock.
So Guy's basically also just a KB.
Yeah, except
all big dumbs.
Yeah, big dumbs.
Yeah. So anyway, then they have a grand adventure.
I wouldn't say a grand adventure.
Well, it looked like they were riding their fucking critters and having a good time.
Yeah. Then they go to the beach.
And that was it.
Okay. That's fair.
I'm gonna watch Begonia too.
The other day.
Oh, how was that?
I really liked Begonia.
I mean,
I gotta say, I liked something today, right?
Lanthos Yorgos is a really weird director, and I can't tell if I like his stuff or not. But
I really like his stuff. Yeah. Like, I really enjoyed The Lobster.
I fucking hate that movie.
I enjoyed Begonia a lot.
Poor Things.
Poor Things I loved.
Poor Things was just too long for me, but I heard Begonia was pretty great. Poor Things.
Oh yeah.
I hate The Lobster so much that like 5 years after the fact, I was with a friend of mine and we were just driving and I was just like, you know what I hate? And they're like, The Lobster? I'm like, yes! Because that's what I was going to say. And they were sick of hearing it.
Yeah, I was going to say.
They do you. They know your bit.
It sounds like you've complained about it a lot.
Yeah. Okay, well, so good. You like Begonia. You hate the Croods.
Yeah, I just have, you know, good taste. I have adult Primal. Taste. Primal's great.
It's not.
So much better than the Croods.
Worse animation.
But somehow, still better.
Worse Nick Cage.
Better animals.
I don't know.
Oh,
White
Shag. What are we watching next time, Peter?
So next up is Outcast, which is actually what was going to be our first. We didn't have enough people for the podcast because I think you got sick, which is why we ended up watching the Humanity Bureau, the two of us, because we started watching Outcast and it was like, shit, Nick Cage is basically not even in this movie.
And that apparently doesn't matter anymore.
It doesn't. Because now it's about completionism.
Which I never agreed to.
But then we chose Humanity Bureau, and Sean was like, boy, I hope you guys just don't choose Humanity Bureau. It's like, too late, we're doing it.
Fuck, we did it. You didn't miss anything.
And then I listened to you guys talk about it. I'm like, I'm glad I didn't have to watch that movie.
Yeah.
No way. It was all right.
The trailer really looked like it was going to be something.
Outcast looks really stupid.
The Hayden Christensen.
It's Hayden Christensen and Nick Cage. It's kind of that same vibe as like Jiu-Jitsu in my mind, where he's like the old warrior or whatever, and you know, oh, there's, you know, Great White Knight or whatever. And everyone respects him, but he's just like a drunk or some shit. I don't know.
Yeah. Nice. Sounds great.
A mysterious warrior teams up with a daughter and son of a deposed Chinese emperor to defeat their cruel brother who seeks their death.
Please. Tell me he plays the Chinese emperor.
I do not think so.
Wait, is Hayden Christensen the child of a Chinese emperor?
I don't know, man. I don't know.
That's some real Ben Kingsley shit.
It is a little Ben Kingsley. So we'll see. I mean, let's see. Let's read a user review just real quick.
I like to go straight for the 3 stars. What are the mids to think about it?
Yeah, so I like the ones because those are fun too, but simply awful in every way.
At least it's not complicatedly awful. It's just simply awful. That's an awful I can understand.
Whatever happened to Cage? Has he run out of resources and feels the need to jump on every bad script out there? Not only this, he's actually giving the worst performance of the lot in this movie. The story itself is corny, limping, and just bad overall, but Cage is even worse.
Awesome. Yeah, nice. I look forward to that.
Here's a 3-star. Damn you, Nick Powell, and damn you, James Dormer. I'm assuming directors. Why? Seriously, why did you make this? Who is it for? Honestly. Oh, he said Uwe Boll films are better than this.
Oh.
That's rough.
What's he mean?
Blood Rain. He gets really cheap video game franchises, no, and like makes really cheap movies out of them.
So probably nothing I've seen.
Alone in the Dark. No, I would be shocked if you've seen a single one of these movies. These are all
I've
like
watched
total
several because I had a friend who enjoyed garbage. Uwe Boll famously decided
to
challenge.
Dress it up. We know you like bad movies.
Uwe Boll famously challenged his critics to boxing matches, and some of them took him up on it, and Uwe Boll proceeded to kick their asses because that's how you deal with criticism.
It's terrible. Like, he just universally does not make good movies.
I feel bad for underestimating him.
His first movie, 1-5, 1-6, 2-2, 2-0, 1-3, 3-7, 5-2.
He's improving.
2-9, 3-2.
So his Dungeon Siege movie famously starts with the line, "I felt you come before you came."
Hell fucking yeah.
Okay, so maybe Nick is in.
I'm going to get that tattooed on my chest. No, tramp stamp.
There you go.
Based on title alone, what UAVOL movie would you like to see?
Ooh, okay. I mean, some of these sound fine, like in terms of,
yeah,
I'm going to watch like a horror movie or something like that, you know. Oh boy, Zombie Massacre 2, Reich of the Dead.
Oh, that sounds cool. Reich of the Dead, that's going to have zombies and Nazis.
Like Legend of the Red Reaper, that could be cool.
Yeah, dude.
Like, some of these sound all right.
Some of them sound like...
Oh, wait, I'm sorry. I totally jumped the shark on this one. Blubberella.
Blubberella. Oh, my God. Now, that sounds like a porno, though. And that has got me right back in.
His first film, German Fried Movie.
Do you think it's a riff on a Kentucky Fried Movie?
Probably.
That was a good one.
Yeah.
If you like problematic films from the 70s-ish.
Yep.
UAVOL also tried to sue the studio that made the Rampage movie based on the video game with The Rock, because UAVOL also has a franchise of films called Rampage.
He just sounds like a dork. All right.
But don't box him over it.
Yeah, apparently not. Any final thoughts?
Like I said, Begonia was good.
Yeah, good. And Douglas is a good dog.
Douglas was a good dog creature.
Dog-like, yeah.
The Croods are fun films. If you have kids, you could watch worse things.
Glowing review.
Yeah, I mean, I don't disagree with that assessment. I think that's actually fine. I didn't have a bad time with this. I did not.
I enjoyed this movie. I enjoyed this movie a lot. I will put on The Croods in the background. I will put on The Croods 2 because I genuinely enjoy them.
Going to be there so you can annoy him.
When you say, if you have kids, watch The Croods, my brain immediately translated it to, hey, you already make bad choices, so go ahead and make another one.
I said, there are worse things you could watch with kids. There are much worse children's films out there.
Yeah, I can think of like 9 things that would be worse to watch with kids. Texas Chainsaw Massacre.
Blubberella.
No, I don't know. They might like
that. They might be into it.
I might have to screen it for boobs first.
That's true. Yeah.
I don't want to.
There's definitely boobs.
Come on, let's be
real. UAVOL's Postal, which involves Dave Foley just taking a big shit in the opening scene.
Oh, yeah, that's true.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah, so you might be into UAVOL.
Yeah, he might be my guy.
Yeah. Anyway, to our guys. Thanks to our Sparkle buddies, Josh, Josie, Matt, Adam, Bill, Stuart, and Willow, and our cage dancers, John, Freeman, Nathan, and Cameron. And of course, to Bill Panks for our intro music. Sorry you're all tied to this one. Thanks for listening.
Bye.